the verse that where Radharani spoke and said that whenever she heard his name Krishna, it was driving her mad. And then there were two comments. Kundalata said, that's the nature of this name. It does that. Anybody who chants. And then Lalita said, yes, but that's not all, because it also depends on the love of the one who's hearing and the one who's chanting. So, in this way, if there is purvarag, if there's previous attachment to Krishna, then each time when we again reconnect with Krishna, we are experiencing immediately deep symptoms of attachment to Krishna due to purvarag. When that previous attachment is not so much developed as yet, yeah, then it may take a bit longer to warm up. You know what I'm saying? Then we feel we can't really get into it. Although part of us wants to, but the mind seems to be unwilling. It's because we have not sufficiently developed attachment to Krishna. So attachment to Krishna must develop first. That's just a beginning phase of spiritual life. Therefore it says in the beginning, it's rules and regulations, because not much attachment to Krishna. But attachment to Krishna will naturally develop, because after all, Krishna embodies everything that is actually interesting. And you can see, everything is kind of an imitation of Krishna, of Krishna's pastimes. Just like you have Bhima, he is like somehow or other, Bhima amongst the Pandavas is very strong, and extremely strong. And it said that Bhima, by birth, he had all the celestial weapons, whereas Arjuna, he had to conquer all these weapons in various ways. We see Arjuna is going through so many things and fighting with this one, fighting with that one, doing so many austerities, and even traveling to the heavenly planets, and then he gets all these different weapons. But Bhima, he had them all from birth. He already had them. So he had some special karma. But Bhima didn't like to use celestial weapons. Bhima liked trees. He was therefore known as Vrikodar also, as the one who would just fight with trees and smash people with trees rather than these celestial weapons. Which sort of, it's kind of distant fighting. Bhima liked direct contact fighting, because Bhima was, after all, as strong as 10,000 elephants. So it is said. That's like, all right, that makes Clark Kent, Superman, look like a small boy, you know? I mean, who's he, right? You know, Spider-Man. I mean, who are they? You know, all these personalities. So you see, in the pastimes of the Lord, you see actually it's all there. Or we have also Hanuman, and, you know, he is also extraordinarily powerful. So now we see that in the modern times, they create this myth. They create this myth, which is just a reflection of Krishna's pastimes. Just like you have these comic books, Asterix and Obelix, right? And Obelix is permanently strong like Bhima, and Asterix is more like Arjuna. Like this. They are borrowing, they're just perverted reflections of actually Krishna's associates. Everything is there. Everything is found in Krishna, whatever quality it may be. So in this way, when we turn to Krishna, we will be satisfied, and attachment to Krishna is kind of natural. Okay, now I brought a book here. Let me see. Yeah, I will just read something. So this is from the Sri Priti Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is, of course, the nephew of Rupa and Sanatana. And Jiva Goswami is the greatest logician, the greatest... he is systematically establishing Krishna consciousness, very expertly. First of all, First of all, he is quoting from the Chandogya Upanishad, and he is saying that the Puranam and Itihasam, they are the Panchamam Veda. So that's interesting. He, by quoting the Chandogya Upanishad, he establishes that the Puranas and the Itihasas, like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, that they are the fifth Veda. So Chandogya Upanishad is hardcore evidence. No one argues with the Chandogya Upanishad, because you see, there are two types of Vedic literature. One is known as the Sruti, that which is heard, and it came directly from the breath of Lord Vishnu. And then there is Smriti, that which is remembered, and that which is remembered by great sages. So some say, no. What is remembered, that is not of the same caliber as what is directly heard from the breath of the Lord. Now, the Upanishads, they are part of the Shruti, that which is directly heard. So, therefore, everyone who is a follower of the Vedic literature accepts the Shruti. Some also accept the Smriti, and others don't, that which is remembered. But the Smriti includes the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and the Puranas. So, now the Chandogya Upanishad itself says that these Itihasas, these Puranas, are the Panchamam Veda, are the fifth Veda. So they're also Veda, not just the four Vedas, Rig Veda, Ayurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda, and the Upanishads are part of these four Vedas. And then he said, no, these Puranas and these Itihasas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, they're also Veda. So they're also authoritative. And then Jiva Goswami continues. And then he establishes the evidence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he establishes that Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam, the spotless Puranam, the perfect evidence. So, and that is his first book, the Tattva Sandarbha. He there he establishes the evidence, the basis of evidence. He establishes the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is the main book of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Everything is based on the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the book of pure, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. So in his Sandarbhas, he gives a commentary on the Bhagavatam from different angles. And now we have come to the Priti Sandarbha. And it's all broken up in small little sections, and each one deals with a particular point from Bhagavatam, and all in the context of love, which is a theme anyway that we are discussing, not kind of, I established earlier on, not that kind of very remote, difficult to understand Krishna praying, but the love at least that even we can experience for Krishna. Anucheda. So each of these sections, which are like sometimes a page, sometimes half a page, are known as Anuchedas. So each Anucheda is a point that he makes. Anucheda 122. In this way is manifest the superficial appearance that the Supreme Lord is not the friend and well-wisher of his devotee. The Lord's devotees are of two kinds. One, the devotees who are not intimate associates of the Lord, Durastha, and the Lord's personal associates, Parikar. To benefit the Durastha devotees, the Supreme Lord manifests his feature as their friend and well-wisher. In this way, he is known as Brahmanya, the friend of the Brahmanas, and many other, like other names also. This feature of the Lord is seen in his pastime of protecting Maharaj Ambarish, and in many other pastimes also. However, this feature of being the devotee's friend and well-wisher is not always seen in the Lord's dealings with his personal associates. This is seen in the pastime of the curse placed on Jaya and Vijaya. And in many other pastimes also, it is also seen in mischievous activities of Durvasa Muni described in the Skanda Purana, Dwarka Mahatya. However, in both situations, either the Lord seems to be the devotee's friend or seems not to be the devotee's friend. The Lord is in truth always the devotee's friend and well-wisher. The Supreme Lord considers the devotees who are not his personal associates to be like his friends or kinsmen. However, the devotees who are his personal associates, the Lord considers to be like his own self. Aham Bhakta Paradina, it says in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.463. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I'm not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So it's interesting how he makes a distinction in two categories of devotees, and how he says that the Durastha and the Parikar. The Durastha are those who are not intimate devotees, but they are devotees by Krishna, who is the friend of the Brahmanas, and that he is always the friend and the well-wisher of those who are far away from him. But that sometimes with those who are close, oh, Krishna may give them so much trouble. Yudhisthira also is an example. Yudhisthira...
Okay, let's put this down again.
Yudhisthira is discussing with Narada Muni. And he's discussing, you know, everything they went through. And Yudhisthira saying, you know, my brother got poisoned with a poison cake, right, and got thrown into a river. And somehow or other he got saved because he got bitten by poisonous snakes, and that poison of the snakes neutralized the poison that was in the cake. So then he came out of the water again, he survived it. Said we were, of course, in that house which burned down. He said we were in the forest with cannibals and so many difficulties we had to face. Said, and if this is what Krishna does to his devotees, I wonder what he's doing to his enemies. Yudhisthira is saying this. So that's interesting. And then Narada Muni is explaining that actually, no, they are very dear to Krishna. And Krishna is sometimes putting his devotees to trials and tribulations. And that these are either tests or these are there to glorify the devotee. To show that the devotee is just amazing, just like Prabhupada, right? I mean, so many obstacles. He starts the Bhagavad Gita even in his Grihastha life, and the manuscripts disappears. after it's almost finished. Oh God. Then he just starts again. And goes to America, and then they steal his typewriter. He has no money, and somehow or other someone donated this typewriter, and he's using it day in, day out, and he's just typing and typing and typing. And then that typewriter is stolen. You know, and he's saying, like, Krishna, you know, I'm typing for you. Come on, you know. I mean, Krishna, why are you stealing? Why get someone to steal the typewriter? I mean, the door was locked, you know. Like this, the hardships that Prabhupada went through. Now, in hindsight, we can see that all the difficulties that Prabhupada went through, the greatest difficulty was that he was all alone. There were no devotees. For us, it's easy because we can always find a devotee. Wherever we go, we always find a devotee somewhere. If you just, you know, nowadays it's not so hard. You just Google it, you just look at Krishna.com and you find the nearest temple, and if you're lucky, you just rock up in time for guess what? So it's in that way, it's kind of, things are, we're so sheltered, and Prabhupada had nothing, no money. See, if you have no material to shelter, if you have money, well, you know, when you have a problem, you just throw some money at it. But if you don't have money, oh, then it's different. Then it's not so easy. Prabhupada didn't have money, so where did he wind up? On the Bowery. That's an intense place. To step over the bums on the street, it's like not the best part of New York. So, hardships, many. And I'm sketching a few. I mean, we can make an endless list of how many difficulties he was ready to take. Just going on the ship and the heart attacks and all these things. So, in hindsight, we can say that, yeah, you know, if Prabhupada, if Krishna would have made it easy for him, then we could all say, yeah, but, you know, he was a pure devotee. So for him, it wasn't so difficult, because Krishna was making so many arrangements for him anyway. But we're actually struggling. Right? But that, now, no one can say. Huh? Anyone who dares to say that, we just laugh at that person. You know, say, you are struggling? What do you mean you are struggling in comparison to Prabhupada? Yeah? What we're going through, it's a piece of cake, literally. Right? The struggle is, how can I eat so much cake? That's the struggle. Yes. You know, how can we digest all that prasadam? I mean, that's my question. Right? I mean, that's the austerity as far as I'm concerned. So, in this way, in hindsight, we can easily see why Krishna gave Prabhupada so much difficulty. Prabhupada didn't need it for further purification. There was no doubt that he was already pure. Right? But it was simply for us, so that we can all look at him as our example, as the one, as like the sacrifice that he made, right? Then all right, then we should also make a little sacrifice. Right? And even as soon as the word sacrifice, we are already like, oh, ow, I don't know, I try. But Prabhupada doesn't display that. And he doesn't display this quality of becoming discouraged. He doesn't display this quality of being hesitant. He is just so determined all along at every moment. So determined that it's just extraordinary. Extraordinary. Anyway, so Jiva Goswami, his point was that with devotees who are a little bit distant, Krishna is always acting as the friend in all circumstances. And only devotees who are very close to him, he may sometimes put through difficulty. And he considers, they are my own, right? They are my own. They are very close to me. So that's quite a deep point, actually, if you think about that. A point that we may have not previously considered. At least I didn't, to be honest. I didn't think of that there are two categories of devotees like that, and that Krishna is always friendly to those who are distant. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanitaya Cha. The well-wisher of the Brahmanas. So yes, but you know, we are part of, not of the Brahmanas, we are part of a special party, a special movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement. In this movement, it has to go very quickly, because we are meant to go back to Godhead. This life, not like after many lives, that's not the program. The program is this life, you see, now. I mean, at the end of this life, at least, and still live a little longer, you know, another 60 years, or 50, or 40, or 20, or 10, or 5, or 4, or 1, or half a year, or 3 months, or 1 day, or 5 minutes. How do we know? But whatever it is, we are meant to go back to Godhead in this life. So in one sense, because we don't know, we have to be ready also. And we should not think, well, I have more time. No, no. We should think now. Now I got to be serious, because now, what if this would be the end? You know, I mean, as it is, we can all wear the t-shirt called Work in Progress. Yeah? I mean, at best, you know, or no work, no progress. One of those varieties, I guess, is our t-shirt. Yeah? But, you know, the ready, you know, can we wear the ready t-shirt? Ready? Right? But we should, actually, if we think about that. And it's a matter of a state of mind. It's not so much more. It's just that we get out of that mode from I have so much time. And we, you know, we don't know. We just don't know. Anyway, I like Jiva Goswami's point.
And
where we can see that Krishna arranges for our purification, and in Lord Chaitanya's movement, we must expect some purification, because we are very quickly promoted, very quick, like from being far away from Krishna. I was in India and years ago, and there was this program, and you know, I gave this talk, and at the end of the talk, there was a Brahmana. And this Brahmana, he started to breathe quite intensely at the end of the talk. So I knew he was going to say something. So he said, you spoke so wonderful because you spoke about Krishna, the Krishna to Ka for Kala, Ra for Rakta, Sa for Sukla. Three Yugi Narayan. Three Yugi Narayan, the three forms of Narayan that appear in all the three yugas are included in the Krishnatu. So I said, well, sir, I very much appreciate your comment, because it is true that Krishna is known as Avatari, and all the avatars are included within him. He's the origin of all the avatars. So I said, your explanation was very nice. He said, but our acharyas, particularly Jiva Goswami, gives an even greater explanation of the Krishna-dhatu. Basically, Jiva Goswami said that the Krishna-dhatu finds its roots in the word akarsan, to attract, and that therefore anna stands for anant, and thus by chanting the name of Krishna, one becomes naturally attracted to Krishna and one experiences the great happiness. So then the man's ecstatic symptoms became even greater, and he said, oh, your explanation is greater than mine. So he was a Brahmana and he was the head of a Sanskrit college, and he was explaining a Sanskrit root, right? I am a village pumpkin from Holland. And what do I know about such things? You know what I'm saying? About Sanskrit. I mean, really, I can't even pronounce it properly, you know, the aspirated dha, paha, dara. It's like very difficult for me. And I always mix it up. Now, what to do? So, but because we are in this line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this line of the six Goswamis, we're suddenly in a fast lane and just being like uplifted very, very fast. Very fast. Just amazingly fast. Therefore, we should not be surprised that some difficulty may be there, because after all, if we have to go back to God in this life, well, then maybe we need a little bit of purification. We spoke about Chitraketu Maharaj, who was cursed and actually innocent. And he had to become this demon, Vritasura. And then it is explained in the purports that being Vritasura was there because he needed special purification, intensified purification, so that he could go back to God very quickly. So that's also happening in our lives. And it's interesting because we came from Kali Yuga, and Kali Yuga is an extremely sinful place and or time, and also an extremely a time where everyone is weak. No determination, no willpower, no strength. But then, somehow or other, in this age of Kali, we just very quickly get purified, because the age of Kali is not easy. Nobody has it easy in the age of Kali. So first, you know, we were like on the sinful side of Kali, and now we are on the purification side of Kali. The age of Kali is purifying us very quick. What can be said? So we have to endure it and see it with that vision. That's what Jiva Goswami is basically telling us. Jiva Goswami quotes another verse from the Bhagavatam. He says in the 10th canto, chapter 32, text 20, Naham tu sakyo vajitovi. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and thus become so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. So this is what Krishna is doing. He wants to increase our love somehow or other. And therefore sometimes he's present, sometimes he's not present, therefore we are struggling, therefore all these things are there because Krishna wants to intensify our love. Therefore Krishna left the rasa dance because he wanted to intensify the love of the gopis. Therefore that the gopis were looking at Krishna's footprints, searching out Krishna, seeing also the footprints of Radharani, understanding how somehow or other they had left together. And naturally, the gopis experience great separation, and in that separation, their attachment for Krishna increased. Then Radharani also was renounced by Krishna, and she also experienced intensified attachment. So this is going on, and this is important because this is known as this separation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching, this mode of separation to intensify the attachment. Yeah. Well, so with this, and in answer to the gopis had also spoken to Krishna just a few verses earlier. The gopis said, some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate to them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical, and yet others will not show affection to anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter. So this is the question the gopis are asking. You know, some show affection when it's shown to them, they reciprocate the affection. Others, even if there's no affection to them, they're still affectionate. And then there's some who are not affectionate at all. Whether people are affectionate to them or not affectionate, then they're not affectionate at all, like you. Now, please explain. Please, can you explain this matter? Okay, they didn't say like you, but that was obvious. That was very obvious. And then Krishna explains, I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis. Is that I want to intensify their love and devotion. So this is going on with us also. Where is Krishna? If only we could see Krishna. Oh, and sometimes you get this kind of prayers. Oh Lord, give me a sign. And no answer. Nothing. Oh God. And is it hard? Yeah. Is it hard? We're looking at just going on and on and on, long time. Just as we were on the grass and someone took the guitar and started like My Sweet Lord, you know, and whoever it was. You know. Yeah, it was him from the band, from the Food for Life band, I guess. It sounded like that. And yes, and it takes so long, George Harrison said. And, you know, the amount of credit that George Harrison had is really amazing because so many people came to Krishna consciousness through that song. It's just really amazing. That song changed the world. The Hare Krishna mantra was there. Many people heard the Hare Krishna mantra for the first time through that song. I also heard it. So is that a Q&A sheet? Or, no? Yeah? Is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, good. Then, yeah, then you give it to me and I can try to answer. And then after that, Vrindavan will take us to Vrindavan with the kirtan. I will not speak so long. Start with Indian time. ISD.
Anyway, you can see how Jiva Goswami is making some important points. And are there any questions on that? No one wrote a question? No? Oh. Huh?
You send it out now.
You send it out
now?
Only now. Just now. I see. Well, yeah, questions make it more alive, because then I understand how it lands. You know, I'm saying all these things, but I don't know where you connect, because everyone connects to these points from his own perspective. We're all in different positions, and we all observe the Krishna conscious reality in a different way. And therefore the questions are revealing that. The questions sort of reveal our particular angle. And then I can understand. So as soon as I read the question, I don't read really what you're asking. I don't look at what you're asking. I look at like what's on the mind of the person who's asking this question.
That's basically what I'm looking at.
You're going to ask something, and I'm going to read your mind, is it? Okay. Let's do it. You want me to... It. I cannot hear you very well. Can others hear her? Why don't you come and take a microphone? We have a second microphone. Yeah, oh, Hare Krishna. I mean, you just give a whole lecture and we don't understand a word.
That is correct. With your back to Krishna, not to turn around. Yeah, good.
It says, thank you, because you're speaking a lot about the aspect of seeing challenges of suffering and that kind of thing as Krishna's mercy. And then I was thinking about how Queen Kunti actually prays for tribulations. And in the Sri Shikshastika, it said, even if you make me brokenhearted, then I've been present before. And in the nature of devotion and the techniques of hearing and remembering, expecting the Lord's mercy is the title, and then the explanation is actually quite, not what you expect, it's something like, if you carry on paying essences from the core of your heart, even while suffering the past misdeeds of your actions, and those kinds of things. So you're saying this is all to increase the, sometimes if Krishna sort of retracts and gives you mercy again and retracts, and it's to increase your devotion. But I was wondering about also the aspects of when these things come, it's also to make you completely dependent on Krishna, in a sense, because like Prabhupada is completely dependent on Krishna, and all these things are showing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, it's interesting that you think I'm speaking so much about suffering, because I thought I'd speak about brain. That's very interesting, you know? It's like, I think I'm giving a lecture about brain, but she perceives that I'm speaking a lot about suffering. Thinking about that, well, I mean, I did bring it up from time to time, it's true. But I would call that... That's not at all my topic. My topic is completely attachment to Krishna, and like you're saying, the dependence on Krishna. See, attachment to Krishna is like attachment, it's like it's dependence on Krishna. It's like as we depend on water, as we depend on air, as we depend on the sun, as we depend on just things for our livelihood, you know. We cannot live without Krishna, there's no question. Yeah? That kind of dependence, not from, okay, Krishna, I depend on you. I don't know, but please start my car. Oh, Krishna, oh, thank you, Krishna, it started. Oh, Krishna, I depend on you. You know, I don't know how we're going to get the money, but please send us some. Oh, thank you, Krishna. I depend on you, Krishna. Oh, yes, Krishna, please. No, no, not like that, but like depending on air, like depending on water, depending on light, depending on essentials. Seeing that I can't live without Krishna. How long can you live without water? Totally dependent on water. How long can we live without air? How long can we live without Krishna? Totally dependent on Krishna. Not being able to live a moment without Krishna. That's that dependence, and that's where the intensity comes in. Intense attachment to Krishna, which is what I'm thinking about. Yeah, the suffering, okay, you know what I mean. What can you say? Everyone gets some of that, especially Kali Yuga is not like so smooth, but oh well, you know, I mean, I don't meditate on it too much. So you might talk also, it's in the background. It's in the background. But thanks for your point, it was nice. Appreciate it. So did something appear on that sheet already?
Still writing another one.
Okay, when it's finished, then just bring it over. So then I'll, because I, yeah. On our
persistent desires. People say you sanction the desires due to our persistence.
Okay.
So on one hand we've got that, and on the other hand we are expected to feel the separation from Krishna.
No, no.
Minus those desires. You can't have those desires.
Uh-huh.
But the desires should be sold to Krishna.
Okay.
So what is the litmus test now when it comes to the desires? Because the desires seem to be the common denominator, creating the hurdles and the challenges. Mm-hmm. The only goal
is got it. Okay, so on the one hand we have the desires, on the other hand we are supposed to have separation of Krishna, and that minus the desires, and we're supposed to have...
What's the litmus test now to the desires?
Yeah. Well, what we do is we just, the sinful desires, of course there's no space for them. Those we have to renounce. But all other desires, we can engage them in the service of Krishna. And that will change. It's like, like I like to sing. I've always done it, as long as I can remember. When I was like a small kid, I was already singing. And then I start transferring that to Krishna and to the holy name. And now I don't like singing without the holy name anymore. Now it's the holy name that I like. Now it's kirtan. I still like the singing, but with the holy name. Otherwise it's meaningless. You know. Just, as Prabhupada said, decorations of a dead body. So in that way the desires, we just engage the desires. So all the desires, except for the sinful ones. But all the other, the desires cannot be renounced. We cannot just give them up. So it's not going to work, separation from Krishna minus all these desires. Oh, I wish all these material desires would just go. No, let's use them. Let's use them. Let's just use them. Whatever it is. If it's possible, let's use it. And when we start doing that, it becomes really exciting, really ecstatic. And sometimes you have these desires. Like I had this desire to go to Govardhan Hill and to just worship Govardhan there. So we went with a whole group of devotees. And we all took a shila from Govardhan, and we all were bathing the shilas and nicely massaged them with oil, scented oil, and then we put sandalwood paste faced with Tulsi leaves and with painted eyes, with tilak on the shilas, and then we mounted them on a very big Govardhan shila, and then decorated them all with flowers, and it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And I've been thinking about this for a long time, and finally I did it. So we had to fulfill desires. Fulfill them. That's just, and they'll take us to Krishna. So let our desires, okay, the sinful ones, but sinful desires, they kind of disappear a bit. They don't make sense. You know, say that even if one has some weakness, one looks at this as weakness. This is, you know, say something stupid, but someone is attached to tea. You know, say, oh, tea. Anyway, to come back to the material world for a cup of tea is just too stupid. So, okay, let that one go. Why did you come back to the material world? You know, well, I mean, I was really attached to the place of my birth, and I appeared again in this land. And what about you? Oh, me? I came back for a cup of tea. That's too dumb, isn't it? You'd be embarrassed to tell anyone why I really came back for a cup of tea. So, in this way, we can appreciate that we must just engage these desires. You know, so many things we can actually do for Krishna. Because I don't know your desires, and I also don't need to know, but I'm saying you yourself and everyone, all of us, we can think which desires can be used for Krishna. I like artistic things, and and sometimes in decorating Giriraj, I really get into it. Now I've got Nima, he's also artistic. And he's also getting into it. And, very nice. Well, that's fun. Because Prabhupada says to Kirtanananda, he said, that if you decorate the deity, and you make the deity very, very beautiful, then you will forget all about the beauty of the material world. And if you, it's like, you know, we travel with Giriraj, and we try to make it nice every day. And then you walk past so many times a day, and each time you see the Lord's thing. Wow, so nice, actually. Yeah, so it comes back, you know, it comes back. We do this as an offering to the Lord, but then it comes back because 20, 30, 40 times a day we're appreciating, wow, how amazing actually. That this amazing Lord is living with us. Okay, two questions and then I'll turn it over to Vimla. You mentioned that when we reach the limits of our love that we should approach Lord Chaitanya. How should we approach Lord Chaitanya? What should we ask him? I didn't mention that today, but I mentioned that long ago sometime. And somebody with a good memory remembers that. We should approach Lord Chaitanya when we reach the limits of our love. When we approach Vrindavan, there is one difficulty. That Vrindavan is the abode of love. And there are the gopis, and there are Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. And when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, the one thing that Uddhava experienced was that the love that these residents of Vrindavan had was beyond him. In Dwarka, Uddhava was known as the greatest devotee. We'll discuss Uddhava a bit more in the next few days, because Uddhava is interesting because he's in between Dwarka and in between Vrindavan. Anyway, the point is, when we are lacking love, to come up to the level of the residents of Vrindavan, then we can turn to Lord Chaitanya. And we just chant Hare Krishna. We enter into Sankirtan. We enter into chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So after this question, that's what we're going to do. And stay at least for a while, see how long you last. But it will be very nice. So the last question, you mentioned about suffering again. A human being can only take so much suffering. Don't worry. There is a breaking point. We don't break so great. Being in this movement, one goes through a lot of suffering, a lot of nectar also, in many ways. What if there is a point where you just can't take it anymore? Come to me. Whenever you can't take it anymore, come to me and I will feed you Mongolatic seeds. And then after that, we'll talk. Okay? So anytime, I don't know who wrote it, but whoever it is, don't worry. When you come to that point, please come. Please come. Come to us. And if it's not me, come to some other senior Vaishnava, because they can immediately lift us up from that suffering experience. Because they are not in that suffering experience. Yeah, they also suffer a bit, you know, but it's like, it's not so much in their mind. They're absorbed in something positive, you see. So they can immediately lift us up, and that is the way it is. Meanwhile, let us take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, and let us take shelter of the Holy Name. I think that our Vrindavan Das has been chanting for many years for the deities in Vrindavan, and so he carries something like that. So let this kirtan now bring to us the presence of Krishna and Balaram, of Shri Radha Shyama Sundara, and Shri Gauri.